Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSH Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSH Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of men, women, and children affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSH Society Radio.
Hey, welcome to the FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. We are live on Facebook, another episode for hopefully all of you to enjoy here. And we got already a couple viewers loading in, so why don't I tell you how to get a hold of us here in the studio. You can check out us on, obviously, Facebook because you're already watching. That's a great place to do that. There's fshsociety.org is the website. fshradiohost@gmail.com is my personal email. You can anytime, either during the show, after the show, you can send me emails about the show, or if you just want to share some information with me, that's awesome. You can do that. Follow also FSH Society on Twitter at FSH Society. So that's probably that's the best way to contact us. But I am not sitting here by myself this show, as now we got more and more viewers looking in. We have also in studio, I'm kind of calling him really a little bit here of a celebrity in my mind in the FSH Society world right now. Sitting next to me here in studio is Ryan Bindle. Ryan Bindle is a great baseball player that I coach, but he has went above and beyond that, and he has started a fundraiser for the FSH Society, and it's something I really felt strongly to bring him in the show this week because I thought it just meant, A, so much to me, but I know so much to all of you out there watching. So, Ryan, how are you doing? Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah.
Happy I came.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here too. Now, I know is this your first radio type experience?
Pretty much, yes.
Pretty much. That's good. That's good. Oh, good. We got some people joining in. Tell us a little bit to start off, like I always do with all my guests. And now you are the first studio, in studio guest that people actually get to see. So that's exciting. So I think we started off with a great face for TV, that's good. Great, great, great smile and all. But yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself so people get to know you a little bit, Ryan.
My name is Ryan Bindle. I live in New Berlin, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I go to school at Holy Apostles.
Mm. What else do you do for fun besides work hard at school, I'd imagine?
I play baseball and basketball.
Nice. Well, I know the baseball. You're a great baseball player. I can attest to that. I know your dad, I think, coaches you in basketball, and he's told me good things about your basketball skills.
Yeah.
So I think the apple doesn't fall far from the tree there. I know he's a good ball player, too. So you like the sports. You go to Holy Apostles, which I went there, which is like small world stuff, right? Class of 89. Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
And but you decided to do a project, or maybe I should back up. Tell us a little bit about a project you did at Holy Apostles through your school, because you're in fifth grade, right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the story of the project for school.
Well, my teacher, Mrs. Kelm, assigned us this thing where we got to pick a charity.
Mm-hmm.
And so the charity we picked, we would research and then do a PowerPoint presentation on.
Nice.
And whoever had the most persuasive thing got the, we always have a big bake sale.
Okay.
So like we had all the bake sale money would go to the charity in each class that won.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I actually won in my class.
Nice.
Because, nice. Yeah. A lot of people liked it.
Obviously. So this is like a voting system, right?
Yeah.
Did all the students in the class do the project?
Yeah, everybody did.
Okay. And so you're going head-to-head against, like, what, 30 other kids at least, I'd imagine?
Yeah, 20 other people.
20 other people. And you win it.
Yeah, I won by, like, 6 votes.
Oh, that's tight. Wow. But so the bake sale, that's how you generate the money. And then that's how it goes to whatever, charity one in the project that all you great students worked on. Because I don't want it to be lost in this that I know it's competition, and selfishly, I'm so glad that Ryan won, believe me, and I know all my FSH people out there are happy as well. But, you know, these other kids, too, they put a lot of effort, I bet, right, into their project. So
I was really nervous about some of them because they were good.
They were good, yeah. The one thing you are, Ryan, is humble, and I love that about you, which is why you fit so well on our baseball team. And that's why I didn't want that to get lost in this. That there's a lot of caring kids out there that realize a lot of people, everybody has a something, if it's cancer or if it's an illness of some type or depression or whatever they're battling. And the fact that this class recognizes that, made all these projects, 20 different projects, going to different, possible fundraising groups, and the FSH Society granted wins. But I think, kudos to the Holy Apostles fifth graders, period. I think it's awesome in general, as a class. That's pretty cool. So the FSH Society, you choose it. Why the FSH Society?
Probably because, I wanted you to, my mom's just saying, I'm trying to decide. I didn't really feel moved about any charities. And my mom's like, oh, Coach Tim has this disease and, he has a charity for it. Do you want to do this? And then that's the one I was excited for. So I knew, something I'm excited for is going to win.
Wow.
Something I'm not as excited for is not truly going to win.
Yeah.
So, and I was really excited for this, and I kept that excitement going and won. Yeah.
Wow. If anybody in the chat room, we were talking with Ryan Bindle, who put together a Holy Apostles project, the school that he goes to, basically, working into, getting this projects together, saying, hey, choose our charity in this little contest. FSH Society won, which was the charity that Ryan chose for his project. And you're telling us about, how it all came about. And did you know, though, about the FSH Society or any of that before this project?
I didn't even know you had the disease. I did not know
anything. I'm sneaky that way, Ryan. I hide things
about, FSHD. I've heard of muscular dystrophy, but that was just once. I didn't know there were different types.
Right.
I, literally had no clue about anything.
So you totally jumped into this thing, only maybe a couple days, maybe a week of checking it out and research and all that?
Yeah.
How long did that take, about?
Well, the whole project, we had two, three weeks to do it.
Wow.
So we started researching earlier, but then, we researched, did our little, sheet that helped us, and then, then we had to do, the PowerPoint, get it all done. But, when I learned so much more when I interviewed you at the...
Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely.
That definitely helped me with a lot of my stuff.
I'm glad I could help, it's kind of a complicated thing, because obviously as you notice, you didn't know I had something, right?
Yeah, I didn't.
So it's not necessarily noticeable all the time on people. There's a lot of guys and gals out there that have what I have that are still, there's a gentleman, his name is George Pollock. I know he donated to the cause, and he is a bicyclist where he's in a event that is called the RAM Race Across America. So he literally starts from coast to coast with a team of bikers, and he bikes it, pedals it, and he has FSH. So there is still people that are strong enough, I suppose, that they can do things. It comes still with limitations of being tired or this or that and other battles that George has to deal with physically because of it compared to the other bicyclists. But I know George does what he does. I do what I do because we still can. So for the ones that can't, we will carry them is like our mentality. So, kind of a shout out to George. I hope he's watching. If I probably had other people lined up and said, this person has it, all these people have it, you're going to definitely see there's a total difference. Younger people look more affected than maybe older and vice versa. It's a totally unpredictable disease, which maybe you probably, figured out in your research that it can kind of, it doesn't look the same in everybody. It's totally different.
What you told me and what I saw, it's like every person can have in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So even though it's the same, it's muscular dystrophy. It's a type of it. It's affected people in all different ways.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So I did. I mean, I was, you know, for all those out there, I mean, full disclosure, when I heard that Ryan was doing this, I mean, it's been an emotional week for me. It's tough because I know I tough, but in a good way, because, you know, I just want to coach baseball and keep life that normal. And I don't really tell too much. I don't tell the players, you know, because I don't want it to change anything or the attitudes or whatnot, or use that for whatever reason. To me, it's, you know, baseball is this, and that's my escape. So I do that. And I was touched that Ryan wanted to do this on my behalf, but on our behalf, our being the FSH Society out there. And for me, it was, I just was beyond humble. I just could not believe that this kid is going to go through, he's going to take this project and he's going all in on this thing. Like, I was just lost for words. I mean, I could not put it into words. It was just moved. I love it. It's just amazing. And I know that when I looked at the donation page, because there is a donation page out there for all you looking to still donate, because Ryan, is there still time out there to donate?
Oh, yeah. We have like 2 weeks.
2 weeks, folks. So we got him on the show at the right time. So I think June Kinoshita might be out there on the FSH Society typing along there, because I see that she is adding in with "So cool, way to go, Ryan, smart kid." Of course he is. If she can find the link possibly for that and add it to the chat room here, that'd be great, June. I don't know if that's you working the FSH Society side of this chat room, but that'd be a big help. But it is all on fshsociety.org, as I plugged the site earlier in the show. Because I'll tell you, there, I think when I last looked, I think it was like 3,700.
Yeah, 3,775 right
75.
Now.
75. Wow. Man. So, and your goal is what? What were you hoping for to hit?
It was gonna be, so like, the kind of thing was, so my dad and I were like driving to Target, getting the stuff that my mom said, but then this is the day that I'm really hyped and excited that I won the thing. So we're talking about how we could like help them more, and we were thinking we could try our best to get to 2,000.
You kind of blew that away.
We kind of blew it away the second day.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. That's awesome.
Then we decided we should go up to 4,000 as our goal, and people are still going at like donating every day. We're gaining a bit every day.
Yeah.
And we're pretty close. We have $3,775. Our goal is 4,000. I think if everything goes my way and what I hope, we can get over that.
Mm. That is amazing. What one boy can do in fifth grade, right? I mean, come on. We all can do just as much, and if not, well, not if not more, right? We should all have our own donation page and do what you're doing. And imagine that, right? So I think you're setting a great example for all of us out there. How easy was it, do you think, to create a donation page on that FSH Society site? Was that relatively easy, do you think, to do?
My mom is kind of a master at that.
Yeah.
So she kind of like helped a lot.
But we have to plug the people that helped you. So your mom is number one, right? Up
my
there with your dad,
right?
Your parents are like in your corner. Sounds like really helping you out with this project.
Yeah, and you helped me a lot too.
Well, yeah, but I'm the humble the point that this is your thing, man. You did
and
awesome.
You
this.
Like helped me like get all the stuff, so I become good at it. You know?
I try to give you some tools. Yeah, but man, you sure know how to use them. So who else? How about your teacher? Did she help out? You know, with the creation of this. I mean, this was obviously her brainchild to have this competition. Yeah.
I'd like to thank her for assigning this project, because it really like changed me for like the better. For like, if she wouldn't have assigned this, probably none of this. Yeah, none of this would have happened.
Absolutely.
So I'm really happy that she did this.
Now, if we're gonna do an official plug, what's your teacher's name?
Mrs. Kelm.
Mrs. Kelm. So we all thank you, Mrs. Kelm, for getting the word out about this. And now all these kids know, and maybe some are watching. Maybe they're excited to watch and see their buddy on Facebook Live here at FSH Society Radio. because we have Ryan Bindle here. He's been talking to us about this whole, this school project that he did. He goes to Holy Apostles. He's also a player on the baseball team that I coach. He's an incredible pitcher. And he put together this great project at school, and it was basically a competition, you said, right? And
yeah, competition. And
he won it. So the money going from the bake sale, not to mention the donation page that they made on FSH Society's website, which I know Jun Kinoshita has already put on the link. So it's teamfshd.fshsociety.org/RyanB. So it's right there on the chat room. Y'all can click on that, donate away like crazy. Let's go way past what Ryan set as a goal of $4,000. We were at $3,775 when we started the show. Ryan's presentation is also on that link. So it's not just a donation page. It's a great point, because we have to pull on your heartstrings here, because I'll tell you right now, well, maybe because I was in the video and I know this great young man too helps, but very emotional watching the video. You get good education in the video. You understand the disease in it. And there's one thing I wanted to mention too, is that you pronounced it very well.
Want to hear it?
I think we do. Let's see. Go ahead.
Facial scapular humeral muscular dystrophy.
Boom. Just like that. Just like that. And now I have that recorded, so I'll never stumble again, because when I want to say it, I'm just gonna hit a button and it'll just be Ryan's voice to say it. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I remember my class was all like, so when we were like putting it on the announcement about the bake sale, my Mrs. Kelm was like, okay, what does FSH Society stand for?
Yeah.
And I'm like, facial scapular, nah, just do FSH. Because it's just so long and
it
complicated.
Is. It's a tongue twister.
But like nobody in my class could say it, no matter how much I tried to get them to.
Right. It's so difficult. You could have had almost a contest just with that. Whoever pronounces it correctly can win something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real tongue twister, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. Longest word I've seen.
We have more comments coming through here. Justin Turf Tank, how many are in the chat room? I don't know. I'm not sure how many we have right now. We got 19 viewers, though, Justin. You're one of them, it looks like, so thanks for being here. I know, Justin, I know you donated a large portion to that cause, so thank you for that. Good friend of mine. And we got special thanks all the way out from Connecticut. Such a great kid. Grateful for his efforts at Sandra Bird. So what's next, Ryan? What is next in your future? What is the next project, or what is the next thing you're going to tackle?
Well, getting all this money to the FSH Society, like, I don't even know how much I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And all the people watching could help contribute to that, and it just kept
like being like one thing after the other. I couldn't believe you won it. And then the fact that then you were on the, front page of the school newsletter, right, for the project you did, I think.
Yeah.
And it just like one thing after the other. FSH Society posted it on their Facebook page what you were doing, and I saw a lot of the comments that were very kind, very awesome comments in the donations when they would donate and they'd say something on your behalf for such a great job.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, it just kept getting better and better and better, and the impact
that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel, it just feels so good helping the world.
Wow.
Like,
that's awesome, Ryan. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give a final thanks to Ryan. He said he's going to stick around and listen to our next guest tonight. We have Ben Livingston coming on along with Steve Colwick. Ben Livingston, you can check his site out right now before we go to break. That's benlivingston.com. He's a neon artist. He has this awesome video out there called Barton Springs that he kind of just talks about his life with FSH. And I just love this guy's way. He's a fantastic storyteller as well. And Steve Kowal is a muscle therapist that he works with. So they're both from Texas. So when we go to break, you're going to see me kind of dialing them in. And we'll get them on the horn and start our second segment. Ryan says he's going to stick around here and join us for that. So I'm really excited for that, because I'm hoping as we're all sitting here still listening to the next great guest, and I hope we're all still clicking on Ryan's link. So let's take our break here. And we come back, we'll have our next set of guests on. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.
You're listening to FSH Society Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Tim, host of FSH Society Radio. And get this, in 2014, a Dutch team reported that aerobic exercise training and cognitive behavioral therapy decreased fatigue and improved the quality of life significantly for FSHD patients. This suggests a marked impact in slowing the degeneration of affected muscles. So I don't want to hear any excuses. You can get out there, get active, start exercising, and let's start fighting this thing. Hi, this is Tim again, and have you been recently diagnosed with FSHD and kind of trying to search for answers? I mean, there's so many questions. Where do you go? Well, go to fshsociety.org. Join the FSH Society. Get educated, because knowledge is power. Get active. Connect with local members. Volunteer for research and donate, because without you, we can't fight this. Go to fshsociety.org.
Hello?
Welcome back to the FSH Society Radio Show. I'm Tim, your host, and real excited to be here. We have a lot going on here in the show, especially if you were watching the live look-in. I like to use that term. I steal that from a show I watch on TV, the Dan Patrick Show, live look-in here on Facebook Live, because we have Ryan Bindle in studio, and we have two great guests that I just called. Like I said, if you're watching the live look-in through our Skype service here, so we're going to introduce those guests right on it right now. Here we go. This is Ben Livingston we have on the line, along with Steve Kolwick. I hope I pronounced your names right, gentlemen.
Kolwick.
I welcome you both. How are you both doing?
Thank you.
Thanks. Doing well.
That's awesome.
We're doing great, and we're doing great, Tim. And sorry to brag, but we're down in Texas, and I just got out of the swimming pool, and we had tacos.
Dirty dog.
That President Obama would be really sad he didn't get. I'm making fun of that because I know you're in Wisconsin.
Yes. We had a pre-conversation this week, which was one of my best conversations I think I've ever had with somebody, because like I told you on the phone that time, and I'll say it now to everybody, you're a phenomenal storyteller, and your voice is just like, I could listen to this guy read off an audio book for me. It'd be great. So why don't we start, gentlemen, this way? Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, why you're on, you know, why are you here joining us on the FSH Society Radio Show?
Back when I was 38, I was learning to race bicycles. I was in really great shape and really on top of my game. And I started having these really odd symptoms. I was having this muscle loss. And, now that I talk with more people with FSH, we all kind of have similar stories. It's kind of like you were saying yesterday. It's like, you know, I put my coat on funny, or suddenly I couldn't wash my hair because my shoulders wouldn't go, you know, my arms couldn't go over my head without this odd, like weird arch that you get in your back to do that.
And yeah.
So I've got this diagnosis when I was 38, and I live a pretty physical life. I'm an artist. I'm a sculptor. I work with neon glass, and it's a very quite kind of physical. You know, you're bending glass tubing over 1,000-degree fire, and you need to maintain control when you're working over 1,000-degree fire. This was a great concern when I got this diagnosis because, I'm just going to talk about the diagnosis as who I am, because that's what is relevant to this show, right?
Right.
So I get this diagnosis, and at the time, the head neurologist at the Muscular Dystrophy Association, who, by the way, I want to clarify, is not the neurologist that's at the Muscular Dystrophy Association in Austin now. He's a terrific neurologist, Adam Horvitt. Anyway, this man, back in, when I was 38, this would have been 1996 or 7, I can't remember. He told me, well, my girlfriend said, so what's Ben going to be like when he's, you know, what kind of shape's he going to be in when he's 60? I was 38 at the time.
Yeah.
And he kind of leaned back and he said, well, I'm pretty sure Ben's still going to, he'll probably still be able to swallow. And, you know, probably still be able to walk upstairs without his feet falling out in front of him. And I just fell apart when I heard that. And this is, as I understand, this is very common for everyone. And, you know, when somebody in an authoritative figure as a doctor, a healer, somebody you count on for information, when they plant a seed in your head like that, it's devastating. And so, you know, you think you're stronger than that, but really at night, in the middle of the night, you know, and it's the darkness of your soul that comes out and really can really throw you into some great dark turmoil. Right. And, you know, you kind of lay there in bed with these, like, you know, these waking nightmares of how your future is going to be. So, who am I? I'm this regular guy who, has been confronted with this challenge in my life. And, I am a seeker. I will say that by my nature. And so that's been a lucky thing for me. It's a blessing and a curse because, you know, the blessing is I can't help it. I'm a curious person. So I'm always looking for facts. I'm looking for the latest, greatest thing that may help. And the curse is I have this huge imagination and, it can take me places that can be quite dark and grim. So, who am I? I'm a regular guy with a big imagination and a little bit of hope.
That sounds like good things, though. I mean, considering where you came from, you know, where you were 38, you said you're being diagnosed. And I totally get it, you know, because I was there as well. And honestly, some of those nighttime parts are that way, too, where you kind of get lost in your own thoughts or even in your own worry. The person that I had on the show last month, I believe it was, is a, you know, acupuncturist that I see. And she said, you know, sometimes those doctors give you what she called a doom and gloom, you know, diagnosis. And it sounds like
in my opinion, it's as much of a malpractice as you know, leaving a pair of scalpel in your appendix when they take it out. I mean, you know, they basically, it's very intrusive to your psyche. And, you know, I don't believe in a litigious society, but I'm telling you, it was, well, like you said, you can relate to it because apparently you've been through, you were talking about a grief thing that was going on for you, right?
Yeah. And I found that a lot of people, you know, share that, you know, you go to the doctor and maybe it's been more than one. For me, it was a faster path to diagnosis. But when I was diagnosed, it was like, well, there's no cure. There's nothing we can really do. You know, you can see me like every year. And my response to him, why would I come back here? And he looked at me, I'm like, unless you have a cure in your desk drawer, I'm not understanding what, you know. Well, then we can kind of gauge like where you're at. I'm like, okay, all right. I understand that, I guess. But beyond that, you know, I felt really irritated, like you're not even going to give me a pamphlet, you know, like nothing. So you're up to your own path to go to Google or wherever. Hence, I found the FSH Society. And then, you know, I just hit the ground running because I felt like I didn't have a choice, you know. But there's other people that don't think the way I do or the way you do, Ben, you know, at this point where you're like, okay, doom and gloom is over. What am I going to do? Now, that doesn't mean that doom and gloom doesn't try to come back in or try to fold back into your life or into your psyche. But I think that I got to keep busy, you know, so I keep as much of a normal life as possible with coaching and all these things, which is why Ryan's sitting here. Obviously we have a good, you know, impacted friendship here, player coach, relationship that enough that he did something about it. So good. So something I've done has helped impact even this young person to help try to do something and so on. So I keep busy in those ways. What is,
I understand that.
Yeah.
No, I understand the keeping busy. And, you know, I did everything from, if you look at my website, you'll see a website of a person who kept himself very busy. And now there's some insight on why. You know, I've done everything from travel to Nepal to, you know, and actually back in the day when I could walk 200 miles in 3 weeks with my friends through the Himalaya.
Yeah.
But these were all kind of, now as I look back from 60, which I survived and I'm swallowing quite fine and walking upstairs just fine. But as I look back from 60, which I am now, I see and I know that there were times when I would try to write a book or I would try to, you know, any creative endeavor that would take my mind, it was a salve and it would take my mind off of what I knew would be a quick trip to the dumps if I didn't keep some levity in my activity, you know, that it would just keep me excited about curiosity, whatever it is I was looking for or chasing after, you know, for you, it's baseball and coaching and helping kids, I guess.
Yeah.
For me, it's just being on to the next thing that's like, you know, I'm like this big mouth bass. It's always kind of chasing a shiny thing in the opposite direction, but it keeps me up.
Yeah.
And I've done enough meditation and different things over the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, I've done a lot of different soul searching things. I just, at certain point I needed to find refuge because I was miserable. And I really thought I was heading down this path. And I tried meditation, which was very helpful, but it didn't do the trick really. I learned how to medicate stress. I've tried psychedelics to try to take myself into another realm where I saw myself as a part of a whole and I didn't have to isolate myself. I don't know if I should be talking about that on your show, but you know, actually hallucinogens and psilocybins and different things like that are being researched in a large capacity to help with PTSD and depression. And I can say that, you know, if you get to a point in a, you know, with that, there's a chance that you'll see yourself as a piece of a whole. And it really takes the stress off of feeling like you're isolated. You're not in this dualistic sort of philosophy anymore. You're starting to understand that you're part of something bigger and that it's possible, no matter what life throws at you, that you are capable of sort of being this part of the universe that just sort of kind of stands back and observes the whole thing.
Right.
And it makes some things easier to take. And I can thank meditation. I did this 10-day Vipassana silent meditation that really taught me the difference between pain and suffering. Because when you sit for long periods of time, you get really sore. But if you're in a deep enough meditation, you can separate the pain that's coming from your joints and you can observe the anxiety that's coming in that's telling you that you're about to, you know, really hurt yourself because you're sitting in this position for so long. And when you objectively look at something like that, you really get to understand that what really hurts when you're hurting, a lot of it is the stress that comes from the anxiety of worrying about it.
Right.
Because pain is a very real-time thing that's really happening. But in the middle of the night, it hurts 10 times worse because you're really freaking out about it.
Right.
And I learned a lot about that. And so I've sort of been through these different places that have sort of been this evolution of where I've gotten to now. And I would say a lot of it is absolute luck. But, you know, there just aren't many rocks I'm going to leave unturned. And, man, I've turned over some good ones late. And one of them standing right here. And it's unfortunately, his phone's not working. So we're going to share this phone.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I was going to ask if Steve was on board with us still there, because I wanted to bring him into the fold here.
Yeah.
And kind of get a little bit of...
Go ahead.
Yeah, Steve, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how, even up to the point where you and Ben have kind of connected.
Okay. I'm a massage therapist here in Austin, Texas. Been doing it for about 10 years. I started off, I'm a man, so it was really hard for me to get a job in massage therapy when I first started. So one of the things I started doing was working with Medicaid patients. And it kind of threw me in the fire as far as working with different kind of different kind of disabilities, different kind of body types, everything like that. And it's been super rewarding. I still do it about 10 or 12 hours a week devoted to that. And then a lot of the rest of my practice is just kind of developed into chronic pain treatments, sports injuries, things like that. And so, yeah, I've been doing that for a while. And then somehow I got lucky and Ben got my number and we hooked up.
Mm-hmm. What's did you hear about FSH prior to knowing Ben?
I had heard about it, but I had not worked on anybody with it.
Okay. Well, that's good, though. I mean, the fact that you heard about it is awesome. I mean, that just puts you probably a step ahead of very, very a lot of doctors and therapists and whatnot, maybe that were behind the eight ball where they had to research it before they could even help, you know, or even understand, you know, kind of the limitations of some over others that have it. So I guess maybe, you know, this is then – you worked massage for a bunch of years. Ben comes into the picture. So what kind of therapies, I guess, do you do for Ben? I guess either one of you could answer, but.
I'm not going to let Ben answer because he's just going to talk bad about me. most of what I do is actually pretty painful.
That sounds great, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
So, basically, I was just kind of talking to Ben about this before we got on with you. A lot of it is kind of almost a Rolfing type of philosophy where you're really dealing with breaking up fascial tissue, which is connective tissue in between your muscles and your skin and your bones and all your internal organs. And so stop me if this gets too boring or technical.
Okay.
Basically, what happens is you have all this tissue in your body that is heat dependent. And what it does is it kind of scaffolds your body. So if you, a lot of people don't realize that heat is a byproduct of muscle contraction. So that as you move your muscles around, they heat up. That's why you sweat when you exercise. And so when you do that, that connective tissue softens and it allows you to move more freely. And then as you stop moving those muscles, they cool down and the connective tissue kind of, it doesn't really harden, but it kind of stiffens up and it holds your body so that your muscles don't have to do that, which is great if everything's working correctly.
Right.
Now, what happens with things like FSH, with other stuff I've worked with, cerebral palsy and several other different things, you start to lose that control of those muscles, so you use them less, and that cools that whole area of your body down, which stiffens up that connective tissue, which makes it harder for the muscles that are still working to work. They're kind of encased in this bound up in this net of connective tissue. And so that's where Ben was when he came to me. He has FSH. He had lost some of the control of those muscles, but he still had some, and a lot of it was just bound up. And like I said, I told him, you know, I can't promise anything, but we'll give it our best shot. We went in there and kind of broke up a lot of that tissue, which, as he can tell you, is not a super pleasant process all the time. But yeah, it freed up a lot of the stuff that he had that was still working. And just started to improve almost right away.
So is there some part of your therapy that maybe some might find unorthodox?
I would think so. It's very different from like a typical massage. You don't lay there and I just, you know, rub circles on you or anything like that. It's a lot of movement. It's a lot of, there's a certain amount of pressure in certain areas to where I'm pulling at the tissue and things like that. It's definitely not super common for sure. I don't know how unorthodox it is, but it's definitely different.
Because I guess what I'm getting at is that, because this would be a question I'm sure some that are listening might have. It's like, okay, you guys are in Austin, Texas, and if your therapies are working great for Ben and others in the area of Austin, so all those listening, watching, whatnot, if you're in the area, you might want to look up you know, Steve, if you're interested in doing this. But how about those right. that are, you know, in my neck of the woods, way up here in the north, or, you know, East Coast or whatnot? You know, is there something they should be looking for if they want to look into these kind of therapies that you're talking about?
Well, you know, I talk about this a lot with a lot of different people. I didn't really learn this all in one place. I was telling Ben, I've sat at the feet of several different geniuses and a whole lot of wackos and crazy people and just tried a bunch of different things. But what has really resonated for me and for, you know, the people that I work on is kind of that, that fascial component, breaking up the stuff that's holding your muscles back. And that's what happened with Ben. You know, he had some muscles that were functioning normally and others that weren't. And so the ones that were functioning were taking on the load. It's a compensatory thing. Mm-hmm. They were taking on the load of the muscles that were no longer functioning correctly, and they get stressed out. And there's a thing your body does. It's part of your survival instinct. When your muscles are overstressed, they will literally get to a point and shut down. It's a defensive posture called splinting or guarding, depending on where it happens on your body. And it shuts down. It stops functioning as a movement device and only as a protection device. It just hardens, which causes the connective tissue around it to cool and harden around it. So it gets, as you go through and you lose more and more muscle capacity, what you have left is having to work harder and harder against more and more obstacles. And that's where Ben was. And we just kind of removed as many of those obstacles as we can and woke some stuff up and really allowed him to get moving again.
Can you give us an example the best you can, obviously verbally, of how you broke those things down and did what you did there with the therapies?
Sure. So a lot of stuff, obviously, with FSH is going to be in the shoulders and upper back and neck area. So for one example, I had been laying face up and I kind of had my hands underneath like his shoulder blades and just kind of grabbed there, for lack of a better term. I'm sure there's a technical term that I don't know. But, you know, applied some pressure upwards and just kind of pinned those muscles.
Yeah,
kind of up against his rib cage, and then kind of moved his arm like across his body. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it would something where it would just stretch those muscles and really pull at it. And you can literally feel it just kind of breaking up and opening up.
We are talking to Ben Livingston and Steve Kowalik. Am I pronouncing that right, Steve, your last name?
It's Kowalik.
Kowalik. I apologize. Kowalik. And they're from Austin, Texas.
No problem.
And Ben Livingston has FSH, and Steve is his muscle therapist, more or less. And we're talking to both of them. You know, we shared Ben's story already and his journey with this, and then how Steve and Ben kind of came together. And Steve's offering some really good therapies that seem to be working for Ben, and hence we wanted them on the show. And that's kind of where we're at. Steve, do you do any cold water therapy or cold water massage stuff?
Ben's laughing right now. We've had this discussion before. I'm not a fan of the cold shower, so I have not.
You have not
personally
that.
Partaken in any
so,
of that.
So then that is a Ben Livingston thing.
For much as pain as this man can inflict, he is a total wimp when it comes to him.
I think I'm like Steve, where I think I'm more like a wimp.
Well, you're in a perfect state to be to the Wim Hof method, I'll tell you that. You could be doing snow angels outside with a shirt off.
Right. Now,
I'm jealous.
Now, you did mention, I think I'm more jealous of you, but you mentioned Wim Hof. Now, I did a small bit of research on this gentleman, and I watched a lot of his breathing technique videos. And he is very charismatic, man. I do like his style. Maybe not as much as yours, Ben, but I definitely, you know, was captivated by his process. So his basic process is what? He just goes into ice cold, like break a hole in the ice, dive into the water, and sit there for who knows how long he does, and maybe even swims around. So, Ben, are you trying to tell me that you do something similar?
Well, that's a very sensationalistic approach, and he, you know, he has 26 world records for doing things like
that.
He cultivated his,
he's cultivated his abilities for years.
Yeah.
But what he has to offer that he's really found, you know, it's nothing really new. He's just put an amalgam of a lot of great things together.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the breathing technique that he professes is really nothing much more than what's called pranayama in yoga practices. I mean, it's been around for thousands of years, and it's basically, and I'm telling you, this is a body hack that I can tell you by experience has been one of the most beneficial, pain mitigating, and mood boosting methods, modalities I've ever come across. And it is so simple, and it's free, and and you can do it very quickly, and it's absolutely blissful. So it's basically hyperventilating through 30 breaths, and on the 30th breath, you exhale and you hold your breath. And you hold it, and you'll be surprised how long you can hold it because your body is completely charged with oxygen at that point. And then when you get the urge to breathe again, that just means that your body is, it's brought back some CO2. So you have this impulse to, to breathe and gasp when you have so much CO2 in your body, you need that oxygen again. So there's no sensor that tells you have too much oxygen, but you have this internal sensor that tells you have too much CO2, and that's what makes you gasp for air. So when you've exhaled through that 30th breath out, you hold your breath, and when you get that sensation to breathe again, because you built up CO2, which is a very important part of this cycle, you breathe in deeply, and you sort of kind of push the pressure up into your head. And it's not a harsh thing. It's quite gentle. It's as gentle as you want it to be. And you hold that for 15 seconds and you let it out. And when you let that breath out, you are in this state. You feel your body tingling because you're so charged with oxygen. The pH in your blood has become more alkaline. So your immune system has just gotten a lot stronger. My wife is a school teacher. And, anytime a snot-nosed kid sneezes in her face, she comes home and I take care of her for a week. And I used to be kind of nervous about it, but I don't really worry about it anymore. And consequently, I didn't get sick one time this winter. So that's, you do this breathing method three rounds of this 30, and then hold out and then breathe in. And you can find it on the Wim Hof website. There's tons of stuff online about it. And it's so simple, and it takes about 5 minutes. Mm. And you do this three times, and then it's mitigated, your pain sensor. So you can, you just feel like you're just floating outside your body. You realize, I don't feel my body at all, which is terrific because, there's joint pain and all this stuff all the time. And then you start taking what's called a contrast shower. So you get in the shower and you take a hot shower, and then you just start kind of bumping it over to the cold, just as much as is just on the outside of pleasantness. And you just kind of work yourself. And after about a week or so, you kind of start craving the cold. It's the damnedest thing.
Hmm.
And so we have a swimming pool here. It's a natural pool called Barton Springs, and it's the jewel of our city, Boston. And it's 68 degrees all year round. And that sounds warm, but actually it's quite chilling to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I swim there most every day. In fact, I got out of the pool and came here to meet with Steve to talk with you and everybody tonight. So between the cold therapy, which really kind of activates your hormonal system, and you have to watch the videos to understand it. I can't tell you.
Right.
But it just makes you feel great. And that's really all I need to know. And I know this by experience. I do it every day. I've been doing it for, 2.5 months now. And the day that I talked to June Kinoshita, the executive director of FSH Society, who is a darling woman, she's terrific. The day I talked with her on the phone, I had just come from a Wim Hof workshop, and the workshop ended in a ice bath where you dunk your entire body into a swimming pool full of literally ice and a little bit of water. And it's quite shocking, but you learn to control your breathing and your mind, and you get into this water, and you've never really felt anything like it. But when you get out, I was just so charged with energy, and just, I felt so robust. And I told June about this, and I think it carried over. She became interested in it, and I think she, as a scientist, she knew about the cryotherapy and cold water, the benefits of cold. And it's this is why Wim Hof dunks himself, like, you know, in Arctic, you know, like cuts holes in ice and dives into the water underneath. It's phenomenal.
That's
what
that's
I have
crazy
to say about Wim Hof.
Yeah. Definitely had to touch on that because I knew you were doing that, and I knew that, yeah, that you swam in the Barton Springs. I didn't know it was daily. That's awesome. But going back even to go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to say that, you know, this is all for me, and I would think with most FSH people, the quest is to try to eliminate as much inflammation as possible, because I can tell you, when I first met Steve, when I woke up in the middle of the night to go pee, I felt like I was 100 years old. Like, my whole body just was locked up. It was awful.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I've kind of gotten a second chance. So I just want to tell you quickly some of the things that have really helped me. Like, in the past, I tried, you know, meditation and all these different things. They all helped plenty. But what I've really found since Steve, who, like, really opened the floodgate for sort of a second chance of my health and well-being, is the swimming really helped. It just sort of came on. I felt like Forrest Gump dropping the crutches with that, thanks to Steve. And then I learned about something called intermittent fasting, which has been a huge help. Intermittent fasting is as simple as basically waiting 16 hours between two meals. And so basically, if you eat dinner at 6 o'clock, you just don't eat again until 10 o'clock the next morning. And it gives what happens is your blood sugar, your body lives off of sugar until you get to a place of, I think it's called ketosis. Mm-hmm. And at that point, your body, it gives your body a huge rest is what it does. And at about 14 or 15 hours, your body starts using fat as energy instead of sugar. And it really helps your liver, and it helps, it just, I can tell you, it's just really very helpful. And I just feel sharper, and I think it really has contributed to helping with inflammation. I don't feel this way at night, and I think it's because of the Wim Hof breathing and the cold water and this fasting and getting exercise, you know, just swimming. So these are my, you know, constructed
hacks.
Those are my hacks.
Yeah.
You know, my only hack used to be what I called constructive denial, and that was just blowing this whole thing off and keeping it a secret from myself and everybody else. But now, I just sort of have a new start. Mm-hmm.
Steve, if someone wants to get into some massage therapy, I know on the chat room here on Facebook Live, some have talked about a Rolfer. A massage looks like, or that form of it. Is that something that they should be looking for? Does that help people with FSH in your opinion then? I'm not, I don't know about that type of therapy, so I'm kind of just speaking away. You know, I'm not an expert and I haven't tried it myself, but it looks like some people in the chat room have.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that can absolutely help. You know, I talk to people a lot. People ask me, you know, like, do you know somebody in Amarillo that does this, or in Colorado or whatever? It's very hard because I didn't study under one person. There's not a name for what I do. It's just kind of come together over the years. And one of the things I talk to with a lot of people is just kind of keywords, buzzwords that you kind of want to focus in on. You want to talk to somebody that knows a lot about fascial manipulation, connective tissue, those kind of words, myofascial release, myofascial activation, those kind of words generally mean that people are in the right direction.
Yeah.
There's something I used with Ben, what's called PNF, or proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation. Please do not ask me to spell that. and it's one of those things where you're just kind of forcing muscles into to working as hard as they can and not moving, and it forces new neural pathways to kind of form. That was really helpful for Ben. So yeah, there's a lot of different names of stuff out there. A lot of people had, I was telling Ben earlier today, you know, you start throwing Latin names together, and if you can manage to do it in a way that nobody's done it and patented it before, then you can make a whole lot of money doing it. And so it's hard, but that makes it hard to say, seek out this kind of treatment. But, you know, if you talk to somebody that's talking about mobilization and activation and things like that, fascial treatment, you're on the right track. You're headed the right way.
I think,
and I'm always happy.
Yeah, that's good advice, yeah.
Go ahead.
I said, I just think that's good advice for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then one of the things that I really wanted to talk about, and Ben and I have talked about this before, is, you know, and as I'm sure you're well aware, there's not a silver bullet for this.
No.
Or for anything. This isn't something like, you know, I'm always happy to email somebody, talk to them on the phone, text back and forth, whatever. But it's not something that like, oh, if you could only afford a plane ticket down here, I will fix you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd love to be able to do that. I'd love to, you know, be able to say, hey, yes, come lay on my solid gold table and I will fix you, you know, but it doesn't happen that way. And one of the things I wanted to make sure that Ben talked about, which he has done a pretty good job about, is, that he jumped in and did the work. He started seeing improvement, and he didn't say, I'm going to come back to you 3 times a week and let you do this. Hmm. He went straight back out to Barton Springs and was like, I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
And he did it, and he kept throwing his body at it. And that's a huge, huge component to this. And that's what I wanted to make sure that he got across. Hmm. And, you know, that everybody out there heard, because a lot of times I see a lot of things, and whether it's an injury or some sort of chronic problem or something like FSH, you do. And I know y'all talked about it before. It's a gut punch. That diagnosis is just like, here you go. Like, I don't know much about this, but from what I, you know, got off of Wikipedia 15 minutes ago, it's a downhill slide.
Yeah.
Like, you know, welcome to the end of your life. And that's what I wanted to, you know, make sure that we got across here, was the fact that there are a lot of things that we just kind of, we take from people in scrubs and people in authority, and they say, you're not going to be able to do this again. And like I was saying, a lot of stuff with Ben's body was just healthy muscle that was compensating for the muscle he couldn't use anymore.
Right.
And that was 100% recoverable. But when you have a diagnosis like that, especially if you don't get the pamphlet, if you don't get the information and all you can go off of is Google and Wikipedia and WebMD, then, you know, you wake up one morning and you have to tilt your head way over to brush your teeth and you think, well, I have FSH. This is what life is like now. Instead of saying, oh, no, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find something and see what's FSH and what is really happening versus what I'm feeling.
Right.
But it's all about learning to just listen to your body and be willing to put in the work and do the things you need, seek out the people you need and do the work that you need, because sorry, go ahead.
No,
I'd like to interject.
Oh, yeah,
I'd like to interject on it's Ben. And I just want to, I think, Steve touched on something I think is really important, just to my fellow FSHers in the world. And that is learning to listen to your body. And I think, you know, it's easy to look outside and sort of have this external view of what's around you. But if you can just focus on the inside and just, you know, I didn't regress much, because I'm lucky that I've done the work to kind of learn how to listen to what's going on inside my body. And Steve really pounded it into me that there's a particular pattern of muscle growth, and it's sort of this evolution that sort of is an uphill wedge, and your activity is sort of this sine wave that goes up and down that wedge. But if you overload your muscles, you just drop and go into this lockdown thing. And then you just really three steps forward and five back.
and you have to wait to recover, and you lose a lot of spirit in that because you think you're going to hell, and that's just the way it is. But you will recover. But the thing is that if you can really, when you are doing exercise, no matter what it is, it's to know what the difference is between pushing and overdoing, and giving yourself a break, and just sort of feeling it as you go, and being okay with like going, that's enough. Or possibly it's like, well, it's almost enough, but I'm going to go a little bit farther. That's so much better than going, why, by God, I'm going to swim 2 miles today. And you really mess yourself up, and then you just kind of lose a lot of ground, So I just wanted to really emphasize that because I think it's an important part for all of us, really anywhere, for anybody.
Yeah, you really have to listen to your body, right? The recovery time, especially, for us that have this FSH thing, I can definitely say that. I mean, I still have a job that I do a lot of physical work, and if one day is a little more physical than maybe the other, my recovery time is going to be a little longer than the average bear. So, you got to kind of live with those things. But by all means, you're right. If you can move, move. And you just have to do it a little smarter and just realize it's going to maybe take a little time to recover, but by no means stop. You just have to adjust and be smart about it. We're up against...
Absolutely. Well, and sometimes you do have to stop because sure. I just was out at Big Bend National Park hiking with my wife, and it was some vertical climbs, and I'm telling you, I was absolutely just wiped out on it to the core. And she was ready to hike the next day and do stuff, and I'm like,
nope.
It's like I am. Sometimes there's an exhaustion that I had never experienced until this came on, and it can be from like the most subtle things. It's weird. Like forget sit-ups. That's just not going to happen anymore. And if it does, it's the most depleting thing.
Right.
So I guess you just have to find things that are working and work with them.
Right.
That's it. Exactly.
Well, guys,
a big part of it, like I said, is also that you want to make sure that you don't you want to make sure that you don't give up. If you have a setback, you don't want to be like, well, this is FSH. This is my life now. I get that all the time. I get that with sprained ankles. I get that with any injury that walks in here, That's the first thing people want to know. Is it ever going to be like it was, And the thing is you got to think, when you have a degenerative condition going on, you have a certain task that used to take a dozen muscles working full time and now maybe has 8 muscles working full time. So, of course, the stress is going to be more. The recovery is going to be a little longer. But that doesn't mean that as those muscles start to stress out and tighten up on you, it's super important not to let FSH get away with that. Well, this is what happened. It's a degenerative thing. It's going to keep getting worse. You have to, you have to fight back, and that it is possible to fight back is a big, big message.
Yeah. It'll never be what it was, but it's always what it is right now. And that's always, if you're in that frame of mind, you always have something to work with. There's always hope if you're not basing, your expectations on the past.
Yeah. I think that you guys have offered some awesome advice. Great things. I think great tools for people to use and to go forth with all this information. I know we've had some people chatting and asking, there's a lot of information. Am I going to be able to listen to this again and jot down the notes? So obviously, you guys are making huge impact and filling in a lot of people with a lot of good information. And to answer that question, yes, this show will be available on through fshsociety.org, as well as Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes podcast, pretty much anywhere where you find your podcast, you should be able to find us. So we're going to bid you farewell tonight, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us, Ben, Steve. I know you can find more information about Ben on benlivingston.com. He has a great video as well on YouTube about swimming on Barton Springs. But we have actually possibly one more question for you guys before we let you go. I don't know if I mentioned it to Ben, and if you didn't watch the first segment of this program, we have a young gentleman here named Ryan, and he did a great fundraiser for the FSH Society.
Hey, yeah. Ryan, I have something I'd like to offer to you. I understand you've done a terrific job with this fundraiser, and I don't know how to do this. Maybe you can help me, but I'd like to donate $100 to your cause. How can I do that? Tell everybody how we can donate to your cause.
Yeah, if you guys go to the FSHsociety.org site, I believe there could be a link there for it. But I know on the Facebook Live chat room, June Kinoshita put the link out there. How to find the fundraiser page. It's like a direct link. teamfshd.fshsociety.org /Ryan B. So it's basically, you know, a Team FSHD fundraiser site within the fshd.org site. And a lot of people have found it that way. They're all donating on there. Man, June is on it. She sent the link again, literally in like a second there for us. We are only $125 away, she says, from the $4,000 goal that Ryan set for it. So, with you
wow,
saying,
way to go, yeah, Brian. Yeah. Bravo. How far?
125?
I'll donate $125, buddy. Boom. We're going to meet your goal
Boom.
Right now.
It's Matt.
I'll pledge it.
Oh, awesome, Ben. That's awesome. Thank you very
there
much
you
for
go,
doing
buddy.
That.
Thank you.
I'm just glad it wasn't more. Hey, while I have y'all online, yeah. I just have some gratitude I'd like sure. to dish out, and that's to June Kinoshita and you and oddly, the guy that sort of led me into the whole FSH thing, and that's a guy named Ryan Levinson, and he's a surfer, and he's somebody that I could really relate to, who told his story about his FSH onset to Outside Magazine. And it's a terrific article he wrote about it. It's beautiful. But June Kinoshita has been wonderful. And she mentioned to me that she'd like to start a new Austin chapter of FSH Society here. And whatever I can do to help, I just want to make that known here. If there's anybody listening that's in Austin or in the area and you're interested in that, let's all get together and try to make that happen.
Wow. That's awesome.
What do you say?
That's awesome. Well, thanks, guys, for joining us. I know we will, you know, we'll probably have you on again. You know, I think you might have to both have your own episode, though, because this is a lot of information with just, you know, with the two of you on. It's like overwhelming. So thank you very much.
Well, we're a fountain, Tim. We're
That's
a fountain.
Right. A double fountain.
Fountain of BS. But we're here for you, buddy.
Absolutely.
Totally appreciate it. Thanks, guys. You all take care. You know, we got a lot of people watching, a lot of people listening, and people listen on the recast, you know.
Yeah, thank you everybody who donated to get to my $4,000. Every donation counted, so I'm so happy all of you donated and I got to it.
Yeah, it was it's pretty amazing what you have done, what you have accomplished. And like I said, I got a funny feeling that dollar amount is not over. I think you said it's 2 weeks yet, right? You got two more weeks.
Yeah,
it's going to be
even
up.
More.
Maybe even more. So just because we met the goal, that's why like I love goals, but sometimes I know I'm guilty of it. You kind of just stop at your goal. Like, oh, I met it. Now let's try to exceed it. And I think that we can totally do that. Absolutely. A lot
now,
of people. Yeah,
I just want to see how much I can get to. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Because it'll be crazy to tell everyone I raised $4,000.
Yeah.
And this is without all, like, my stuff where I was planning to go around the neighborhood, like,
oh
all
my
that
God.
Stuff, so.
This kid is a go-getter. I love it. Before we let everybody else go, I guess we also want to share a little bit of what's coming up on the FSH Society. Go to fshsociety.org for, like, meetings coming up. Kansas City Members Meeting March 30th is coming up. The FSH Connecticut Connections, which I believe they meet virtually April 4th. April 6th is Arizona chapter meeting. They're going to meet in Alcott Room at the Southeast Regional Library in Gilbert, Arizona. That's April 6th, 10:30 a.m. The Pacific Northwest chapter launch, April 13th, at the Collaboration Center in Lincoln Square. That's going to be, looks like, in Washington. Tampa chapter meeting. I think they're a brand new chapter, so congratulations to them. April 13th, they're going to meet. April 27th, LA Connections chapter meeting. And on the April 28th, the Bay Area FSHD Family Day Conference from 1 to 6. So that's exciting. Didn't get in a lot of detail on there because I want you to go to the FSHSociety.org site, because while you're there, you can find Ryan's page as well, and you can go ahead and start, you know, filling the donation box, you know, just like a little more, you know, why not, right? Let's kind of do that, succeed that $4,000 mark. I think that's like pretty easy to do. So I want to thank Ryan for being here. Thanks, Ryan, for sharing the hour plus with us. I know it's a long hour, right?
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you to Livingston on, and we had Steve, his muscle therapist, on. He gave some great advice on how to help yourself and just kind of keep moving, seemed to be the theme, and do it safely. Realize that, yeah, our bodies are different. Yeah, we might need a little more recovery time, but to keep at it and to keep attacking this thing. Thanks again for everybody. I'm beyond humbled again to have this show that I do each month, but also to have these awesome people in my life, the Bindle family, all the people that have been watching on this episode, and the ones that will listen to the replays, et cetera, et cetera. My heart is full. So thank you very much. Y'all have a good night. You've been listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.